We'll start Perek Beis, Sefer Yeshua. I hope the Olam took my advice about looking it up before. But right now we're going to learn the Mamish, the first Pasuk. And the Kasha stands out. Vayishlach Yeshua benun min ashitim shnayim anoshim miraglim cheresh lema l'chugu es haoretz ves yericho. So this perek deals with the miraglim of Yeshua ben Nun. Yeshua ben Nun sent two miraglim, cheresh, meaning they should remain silent, that's the way most learn, silently. He sent these miraglim. So obviously, what's the question? Stands out, mamish, like a sore thumb. What do you mean? The reason why we were stuck in the Midbar for 40 years. Why were we stuck in the Midbar for 40 years? Because of Chet HaMeraglim. We even got past the Chet of the Egel Azov. Right? The Chet of the Meraglim left a everlasting impact on us. Tisha B'Av was the night that reflects when the Meraglim came back. And because of that, we didn't go into Eretz Yisrael for 40 years. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't take us in. If not, Moshe Rabbeinu would have taken us into Eretz Yisrael. So the chet of the Meraglim left an everlasting impact on Klal Yisrael. Everlasting. So Yeshua ben Nun now does the same thing. Yeshua ben Nun does the same thing. What do they say? What's one of the signs of insanity? Shimmy? Kavaldik. That's insanity. To do the same thing over and over and expect a different result. That's insanity. Right? So obviously Yeshua ben Nun, the Chocham, the Manig Ador, wasn't doing that. So what was he doing? Why is he getting back into the same problem? The original Meraglim was a catastrophe. Just go in. What's the problem? He sends Meraglim again? I'm a Chappelle. Now it's true, the question I'm asking you is already found in the Kadmoinim, and the Malbum talks about it. And we find deviations that they did it differently this time. Some of the differences are obvious. How many Meraglim were sent the first time? 12. How many Meraglim were sent now? 2. Big difference between that. Why? Because when Yeshua ben Nun sent two Meraglim, they reported back to him. These Meraglim were his representatives, not Klal Yisrael's representatives. The original Meraglim, one of the big mistakes they made is they came back and gave their own report to Klal Yisrael. Right? L'havdil, you all know what's going on now, right? There's what they call a January 6th commission. What is their job? You know what their job is? Nobody knows. Nobody? What? Not even one? To keep people out of the camp? To investigate what happened. I mean, you could say ultimately maybe that would be the idea. To investigate what they call the insurrection. Right? Because the capital was breached to be Mavar. What's behind it? Who's behind it? So obviously, who do they want to talk to? They want to talk to all Trump representatives, Trump advisors, because the best thing for the Democrats would be if they could somehow link Trump. They already did, right? That's why they impeached him. To link him to the event. So what's Trump doing? What's his weapon? Anybody know what his weapon is? No, you got halfway there. You know what his weapon is? His weapon is executive privilege. Executive privilege means that a sitting president, for sure, has a right to basically silence anybody he talks to for advice. The executive is a president, the executive office, the president's office. He has a privilege. His privilege is If I talk to somebody, if I'm the president, I talk to somebody, they can't tell somebody else about my conversation. And why was that done? Why did they make such a law? To give the president freedom to be able to talk to people. He needs to get aitzis and this and that. If he thinks that every time he opens his mouth and talks to somebody, they could then tell other people what's going on, he loses his own privilege. He's not going to talk to people. So they gave the president a privilege that he, when he talks to people, they can't tell anybody else. They have no right legally. So Trump now has told his advisors that under executive privilege they should not report to the Congress. So all the Congress is running this commission, and they want to get their red meat, is Trump advisors. Trump advisors, executive privilege. So now there's a new machlekes. What's a machlekes? How long is a machlekes? Is executive privilege a din in the heftze? Or is it a din in the gavri? See, I just made it to briskish island. If executive privilege is a din in the heftze, that means it's not that the president has this right. The position. It's an executive privilege. So theoretically, Biden now has that privilege. No executive privileges can go out without Biden. Biden is the boss of all privileges. Trump is the one who was talking then. Yeah, but it's not Trump. It's the position that has them. Mamela Biden paskins that these people could talk. There's no executive privilege. Trump says, no. Your schus doesn't go to mafreya. I still have executive privilege for my zman. So now there's a whole machlekes with the legal scholars. It's like, I'm so shayla. We can give a chabur on this. I'm so shayla. Right? So when Yeshua ben Nun sent out Meraglim, there was like an executive privilege. They weren't sent out from Klal Yisrael like when Moshe sent them out. Each shevet had a representative. Here, these Meraglim went out from the executive office. They went out from the executive office. The Malbim makes this distinction. Also, at the Pasuk says Cheresh, it was quiet. It wasn't a public thing when the Meraglim went out the first time. It's public. Everybody knew. This was a spy. This was a true spy process. Good. So we can find deviations from these Meraglim to those Meraglim. The Malbim says also they were already right about going into Eretz Yisrael already. It wasn't like there where they sent the Meraglim a 40-day trip. It was right here. After everything is all said and done, if you have a catastrophe, you don't try to do it again and make a little change. You say, forget it. You understand? You say, forget it. Somebody went on a rocket ship, right? And the rocket exploded. Somehow, miraculously, they were saved. That doesn't happen, generally. If there's a mishap in the rocket, after it's launched, I'm talking about, then the person doesn't come back in one piece. Right? And that's been the history. But if a person miraculously came back, he doesn't try again to make a change. Okay, last time we had a plastic piece. Now we're going to try to make that piece better. If the last time the rocket blew up, this guy's not going up again. Right? Not going to try it again. If Moshe Rabbeinu sent Meraglim and Yeshua ben Nun was one of those Meraglim, it's not like, oh, he didn't. He was one of the Meraglim and he saw the catastrophe it did. Why is he trying it again? So even after we have the answer, well, he made differences, changes, this, that. So I always felt that from here is a gewaldige raya to the Dubin HaMagid. There's a gewaldige Dubin HaMagid. The Dubin HaMagid discusses the whole idea why after Meraglim, what happened after Meraglim? After Chet HaMeraglim, if you read the Pesukim there in Parsha Shlach, Klai Yisrael do tshuva. You remember Klai Yisrael say we did a Chotanu, and they say, we're going to go, we want to go in. Moshe says, no, don't go. If you're going to go, you're not going to succeed. And they started going, some people went, and Taka got knocked out. Right? They got knocked out. So the Dubin HaMagid says, I don't understand. Why can't you do tshuva? What's wrong? Klai Yisrael doing tshuva? But Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, v'hiloy sitzlach. Don't try. It's not happening. We never find that the gates of tshuva are closed. Shari tshuva. So he says a great idea, the Dubin HaMagid. The Olam remembers his words, because I told you in Parsha Shlach. Less than a year ago. Not so long ago. A lot less than a year ago. So I told you over at Dubin HaMagid, Gvaldik at Dubin HaMagid. The Dubin HaMagid says as follows. He gives a marshal, as he always does. There was a Choshev, a Rav, a Talmud Chochem. He had a son, a Choshev, a Talmud Chochem. And somebody suggested this boy, this Talmud Chochem, for an Amoritz in town's daughter, but a rich Amoritz, be able to support him. So, the Shidduch was about to happen. But the rich guy, is a Shtikl Amoritz, the rich guy said, you know, I don't want to take on the whole load myself. You have to pay, you have to mishtatef a little bit. He told the rabbi, you got to pitch in a little bit. The rabbi said, sorry, I have a great boy. I could offer a great boy, but money I don't have. I can't offer money. The rich guy who was sick of being taken advantage of his whole life, he said, you know what? Forget it. Thanks, but no thanks. Anyway, the next shidduch came up for his daughter, Geshmak Amoritz, right? A guy from the street, but it was money, able to 50-50. Okay, great. Shidduch happens. And as they're engaged, the rich guy sees that this future son-in-law of his is not what he wants. And he sees the way the guy talks to his daughter, and he says, you know, I'll go back to the rabbi's son. You know, I'll swallow the bullet. I'll pay him. Let me take the rabbi. So he makes a meeting with the rabbi. The rabbi sits down, tells him the whole story. The rabbi says, sorry, I'm out. So what do you mean? We had a deal. I made a mistake. I recognize my mistake. Now I'm coming back. What's the problem? Says the Dubin HaMagid, the rabbi says a simple thing. The rabbi says, my son does not have money. That's the bottom line. He's coming into a marriage, he does not have money. Okay? He needs somebody that appreciates what he brings to the marriage. He's bringing in, he's a great guy. Great character, he's a Talmud Chacham. He'll be like a great husband, he'll be a good father. But money we don't have. He's not bringing money into the marriage. So what does he need? He needs a girl and a family that will appreciate what he's bringing in. He says, you don't appreciate what he's bringing in. You just tried the Amoritz out and you said, wow, that's a catastrophe. Okay, so you have no choice, you'll take him. That's not going to work. If that's the premise of the engagement, imagine a kala gets engaged and they ask her about the chosen. Imagine a girl just gets engaged, they come to the vart, mazel tov, chave, mazel tov. So Chavi, tell me about your chosen. So I don't really have anything much to say about it. Yes, so why are you engaged to him? Well, I went out with 20 other guys, they were mamish bums. The first guy that walked in the door is not a bum. That's not a way to start a marriage. You marry taking this guy because you have no choice, because everybody else is a bum. That's not going to work. Says the Dubin HaMagid, Eretz Yisrael is called an Eretz Chemda. Eretz Yisrael, you can only have Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is not an easy country to conquer. You can only have Eretz Yisrael if it's Eretz Chemda. Isn't that what we say in Benishim? Eretz Chemda Tevur Chol. Chemda means desired. It's a desired land. If you don't desire it, it's not going to work. So the Meraglim came back. We all started crying. We said, forget it. We're not going into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay. If that's the case, you're staying in the desert for 40 years. You're going to die here. And that's it. So if that's the case, you might as well go in. So they weren't going in because they desired to go in. They were going in because the alternative stinks. See, we're going to hang out here for 40 years and die over here. We might as well try to go in. That's not going to work. That's not a shidduch. Azoy zok to Dubin HaMagid. That's why Moshe told Klal Yisrael, no deal. Hagut Epshat, Tubin Amagad. Not that he needs us to say it's a good Epshat, it's a good Epshat. But now with the Tubin Amagad, it's Givaldic. It comes out that by Yeshua Benun wasn't able to tell them, forget about Meraglim. Faket, we have to now see our Klal Yisrael ready to go in. Do they want to go in? Do they have a desire to go in? You got to try it again and see if now you're on the madrig of going in. And that's why the Meraglim were sent again. True, a different way of sending Meraglim. But they were sent again. And now the Meraglim came back and we were enthused to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now we were ready to go. Tosip Shat. Now we understand why Yeshua Ben Nun went ahead and sent him around. Okay, so that's the Hagdoma. I'm going to share with you one other question. I have to end it a bit early. Well, I guess a bit on time. I'm going to share with you another question. Where the Meraglim ended up, which is Mamish Apella. Where the Meraglim end up? They end up by Rochav Azoyna. The Pasuk says, where the Meraglim hide while they were in Eretz Yisrael? The Pasuk says like this. Vayelchu vayavoyu beis ish azoyna ushma rochav vayish kevusha. So it comes out that the Meraglim went to the worst place. Rochav Azoyna. She was a low level, very low level. Her mom is a street lady. That's where they go. That's where the Meraglim end up. Now you could say it just happened. Happened. It's very strange. Pella, you're going on such a sacred mission like Eretz Yisrael, and that's where you end up? You end up by Rochav Azoyna? Imagine a guy goes to Eretz Yisrael today and his first trip is in Eilat. Doesn't go to the Kaisel. Doesn't go to Moros HaMachpelah, Kev HaRochel. The guy comes from Eretz Yisrael, he lands in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, first stop, Eilat. That's where you went to Eretz Yisrael for? You go to San Francisco. Lahavdil. That's where you go to Eretz Yisrael, to go to Eilat. I don't understand anybody goes to Eilat, but okay. The guy's in Eretz Yisrael, he goes to the Kaisel, he goes to Hebron, he goes to Moros HaMachpelah, he goes to Kev HaRochel. And then at the end, he goes to Eilat. At least I understand. I don't, Baruch Hashem, I've been there so many times, I never made it to Eilat. Right? And I don't feel I'm missing anything. If I want to go scuba diving, I'll go someplace else scuba diving. I don't have to go to, I'm not flying to Eretz Yisrael to go scuba diving. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael to go to holy places in Eretz Yisrael. But fine, that's not my first stop. Even somebody who's traditional Jew, not even from, traditional Jew, he's not stopping in Eilat his first stop. It's on his itinerary. This is his first stop. Go to the old city, the city of David, the cave of the patriots, something. Anybody has to say Yiddish Tam, right? That's where you go. So I understand. Meraglim, first place they end up is Rochav Azoyna. What's Peshat now? Pella. We'll talk about this next week, but I'll just tell you one other Pella. That according to the Medrash, Rochav Azoyna ends up marrying Yeshua Ben Nun. That's even a bigger Pella. So obviously there's something going on. Something cooking. There's something cooking here. So Be'ez Hashem, I'll let you cook over Shabbos, and Monday we'll come to some kind of mahalach.